from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Top beaties of football, NFL lunch style here on this Turn It Up Tuesday before we get to the Ravens. We talked earlier in the program when Vinny was here about the NFL and the NFLPA having discussions. Mark Maskey of Washington Post reporting for an 18-game schedule. Not into the negotiation phase just yet, but it seems like it's a foregone conclusion. And it'll be 18 games, 2 bye weeks, and the Super Bowl would be played the Sunday before President's Day. So Nolan, in theory, doesn't sound all that bad. It's a long season. People just cannot get enough football, and you'll pay to watch it, whatever streaming or network device that it's on. But 18 games, preseason games are what? Down to 2. Pro Bowl's already just kind of a thing you do out in your backyard with your friends, throwing footballs around and hitting targets and such. But 18-game schedule, it's going to be part of our reality, but it's all about player safety.
Well, that's,
certainly isn't about money.
That's the question. When does it stop? Because we just did 17 a couple years ago, and now almost instantly within the year that you had a 17-game schedule, there was already those initial rumblings of when an 18-game conversation was going to start, and now here we are with that full swing. I don't know how the Players Association can sign on for this. I don't. I mean, if you're in the interest of player safety, injuries should be your top concern. I mean, I just don't get it. I mean, and why stop at 18 then? I mean, what's the, in another couple of years, are we going to be talking about 19 or 20? I mean, it's just ridiculous.
And wasn't there talk during the OTAs or prior to minicamp about just eliminating all of that off-season stuff and just have a prolonged training camp that would have started earlier in the month through the beginning of the regular season? And if this comes to pass, no pun intended, which it probably will, eventually, the Super Bowl will be like 3 weeks before conference tournaments in college basketball. I mean, it'd be a bit like a month away from March Madness, basically, if it happens. Spring training will be starting when the Super Bowl's ending.
The only benefit to it is that Super Bowl lining up with President's Day weekend. That's the only benefit.
And for
that
who?
You would have, for the general public.
Yeah.
It's bigger than us. We'll take the sacrifice. And hey, if the Ravens are playing in it, then hey, sign me up.
Oh, right. But if they're not, I don't know if the kid's going to be ready to hit it 695. Well, it'll be President's Day. There'll be no traffic.
Exactly.
Look at me making it all about myself. But anyway, that could be real and real not too far away. But anyway, let's get back to the Ravens here. And you heard a little bit of this from Nolan during the update. But Eddie Jackson's coming to Baltimore, and John Harbaugh's cool with this.
pro, a great demeanor, Eddie Jackson. Seems like he's picking up the defense. I mean, he's only been here for, gosh, a little over 24 hours or so, and he's he didn't make any mistakes today that I saw. So, but he's going to be digging in that playbook really hard, and he looks good.
Got a pick six yesterday in the rain, so congratulations to him. He's got a Pro Bowl pedigree. He's familiar with a lot of guys on the team, being college teammates with them. Henry and Marlon, I believe, were teammates of his at the University of Alabama. And we talked about it earlier, Nolan, with Kevin Allstriker from USA Today. We were worried about the depth or lack thereof in the secondary. Now it looks like a position of strength. But how many years prior have we looked, positional rankings, Ravens number one, two, or three in the secondary because of all the depth they had? And before you get out of training camp, two starters drop, then all of a sudden you're bringing guys off the scrap heap in the middle of the season. If they stay healthy, yeah, I get it. But with guys like Jalen Armour-Davis, for instance, that's a big, big if. And Marcus Williams, quite frankly, since he's been in Baltimore.
Right, and that was the big thing. I mean, the reason we were talking about them searching for some sort of veteran help at safety was because of what has happened with Marcus Williams the past 2 years. But I think this goes a step further where, okay, yes, he fills that depth need quite nicely, but now we're starting to have conversations about him stepping into that Geno Stone role where he's not just a bench player who comes in for an injured guy or here and there throughout the game, that he's actually a piece you're trying to fit into the game. You're trying to get him on the field as much as possible and come up with different packages where maybe you have three safeties on the field at once. I like that a lot. I think the possibilities here are abundant, and it's a nice little piece for a new defensive coordinator stepping in.
Well, here is Eddie Jackson himself talking about wearing that purple.
Just pretty much, you know, I came here on a visit, met with the coaches, a lot of the training staff, equipment staff, people like that, and it felt like a perfect fit. Just knowing what they have in this building and the tradition of things, I just knew it would have been, it's a perfect fit for me to come in and compete and, you know, do what I got to do to, you know, help the team get better and, you know, hopefully win the Super Bowl.
It's another veteran guy, again, as we said, Nolan, that's got a history of success, who's coming into a new situation, reinvigorated, looking at that Super Bowl ring, which has long been out of the narrative for the Chicago Bears. I think if he stays healthy, I mean, he, Marcus Williams, Kyle Hamilton, that's a pretty strong trio in the back end of your defensive backfield.
No doubt. If things change quickly in the NFL, it goes to show you, I mean, the way that Eddie Jackson was regarded earlier in his career, 2018, 2019, around when he was Pro Bowler, had the All-Pro season as well. And as a fourth-round pick coming out of the draft, I don't remember at the time him being, you know, the most highly regarded prospect or, you know, a guy that everyone had their eyes on coming out of the draft that, hey, this is a must-watch player. But he quickly proved that. Injuries played a part in him not being his best the past couple of years. But things move quickly. All of a sudden, you're the veteran. And, a chance to reinvent yourself with some familiar faces.
And here's Eddie Jackson explaining to the media yesterday how he is going to help this Ravens defense in 24.
Really just the defense. You know, you look at the guys, the type of talent they have on the defense side of the ball, man, it's from the front to the back. So, you know, being able to come in and plug in as much as possible and whatever role that I can do to contribute to that is huge. So, you know, that went into a lot of thought about it on making the decision as well.
Well, Eddie Jackson joins a defense that was, what, tied for the league lead in turnover differential last year, forcing them, of course, to the lowest points per game allowed in the National Football League. So Eddie Jackson helps solve a problem, air quotes, for now. Biggest problem, I guess, still facing the Ravens defensively, Nolan, is the pass rush lack thereof. We talked about it yesterday. Vinny mentioned it today. Kyle Van Noy getting 9 sacks. I'll be pleasantly surprised if it happens. I don't see it happening, however.
Right, I'm with you. And those two things go hand in hand. We saw just a couple years ago the emphasis that DaCosta put on building up the secondary. Like, this isn't the first year we've gone into training camp talking about an abundance of depth in the secondary, but you quickly saw the impact of not having a proper pass rush, what that does on the secondary. You can pay, you know, big-time free agents like Marcus Williams to come in here. You know, you can build and draft great corners and safeties, but if there's no pass rush, I mean, those guys are just, they're stuck out there. I mean, anybody's going to get exposed against a modern quarterback and all the weapons you have to cover if you're going to give him time to throw. So it goes hand in hand, and last year was the first time that we actually saw the Ravens have a balance of a quality secondary and a quality pass rush, and the results spoke for themselves. They were the best defense in football.
For the first five games, Ravens have Mahomes, Dak, Josh Allen, and Joe Burrow, who's been given a full clearance. This is with all due respect to Aiden O'Connell, by the way, the quarterback of the L.A. Raiders, we guess. Or could, is Minshew there?
He is.
I can't keep up with this guy. And he's got a lot of stickers year, on that suitcase.
He could be the guy to start the year, so they might be seeing him.
Yeah, he's one of those annoying pain-in-the-ass kind of guys that can make life miserable for you. It's NFL Lunch. And then finally, here's Derrick Henry. He's in his first year in Baltimore. He knows the expectations are pretty high. So what's it like working with this offense, even though Lamar hasn't been there the last couple of days?
Yeah, I don't want to get too much in, you know, possibilities, but, you know, it's everything that I imagine. They work here, the culture, the brotherhood that they have. Grateful to be here, excited for the opportunity, putting the work in now in training camp, just so the things that we want to happen will happen, but not getting to, like, any possibilities or making any predictions.
Well, I think he's going to have a big year. I've been wrong before, as everyone knows. I'm usually wrong most of the time. But we talked about this earlier in the offseason, too, Nolan. Last year, 1,167 yards, 4.2 per carry, 12 touchdowns. He does that for the Ravens. We're cool with this or no? Or do you want more?
Well, more would be great, but sure. I'll take that for sure. I don't know if he's going to carry the ball 280 times, but you know, I still think Lamar needs to have a role here and, you know, some other supplementary back as well. That's just the way the league's going here. But, yeah, I mean, he should lead the team in rushing yards. Is 1,100 enough to do that? If they're going to throw the ball more, I'd say probably yeah. But when you consider that he racked up over 1,100 behind a weaker Tennessee offensive line last year, we'll see what the Ravens O-line looks like. But that has me more encouraged that, okay, he took a step back from the 1,500 you know, 2,000 range that he was in just a couple years ago, but that was behind a better line. He still puts up good stats behind a shaky line.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney with you. Vinny's on his way to one winning drive. American League East report coming up next. Two games in the division yesterday. We'll get into that. We'll look at the schedule, and we'll look at the standings and the ugly particular statistically for the Miami Marlins, who right now sit at 30 games below 500. And then Nate Davis, USA Today, record projections for the entirety of the National Football League. His Super Bowl pick, gotta admit, it's kind of a head-scratcher.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
88-81-057, the fan here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Time for your American League East report. Orioles and Marlins coming up tonight. 6:40, Baltimore baseball tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts, coming up at 5:30. Getting you ready for the game with Ken Wyman and Ryan Ripken, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Orioles coming off a series win against the Texas Rangers, where the Birds took 2 out of 3, hit 8 homers in the process, only 3 for 19, however, last 2 games with runners in scoring position. We'll get to the stats here in a second. Over the weekend, Corbin Burns last Friday won his 10th game. Grayson Rodriguez got his 12th victory of the season. On the hill for the Birds tonight is right-hander Albert Suarez, 5-3 with a .282. Kyle Tyler, 27-year-old right-hander, is on the hill for Miami, making his 4th start of the year. Last start was on 4th of July against the Red Sox. Been around the league for a couple of years, hasn't really pitched much. Angels, Padres, now with the Marlins. Low 90s fastball, not going to get you deep into games. Won 5 1/3 in his last outing. So you would think this could be an opportunity for the Birds of Baltimore to do some damage here. Statistically, for the Orioles heading into the series, offensively, and let's see here, run scored, Orioles 493. That's 4th best in Major League Baseball. The Marlins come in 350, 29th. Home runs, Orioles 157. That is the most in Major League Baseball. Florida, or Miami, 83. That's last. Batting average, 253. Orioles are 8th. Marlins, 234. They're 24th. On base percentage, Orioles are on, excuse me, OPS, Orioles 768. That's 2nd best in the majors. Marlins coming in at 625. That is 29th. Runners in scoring position, believe it or not, the Marlins actually do well. Well, better than the Orioles in this one. 252, which is 16th. Orioles, 248. That's 19th. In Major League Baseball, remember last year, the Orioles led the majors with batting average, runners in scoring position. From a pitching standpoint, Orioles team ERA 3.68, 5th best in baseball. Marlins 4.52, that's 27th. Batting average against, Orioles 2.28, that's 3rd best. Marlins 2.54, that's 26th. Home runs allowed, Orioles have given up the 6th fewest with 101. Marlins 106, that's 10th fewest. Orioles starter earned run average 3.61, that's 5th best. Marlins 5.12, that's 29th. Bullpen ERA, Orioles 3.78, that's 12th best. And the Marlins come in at 3.87, that is 15th. So a statistical breakdown, offensively, the Orioles, except for runners in scoring position, big advantage, and pretty much almost across the board, the same thing with the Orioles pitchers versus their pitchers. Now, yesterday in the division, couple of games, American League East. One was happening as we were on the air. Series finale, it was the Yankees taking on the Rays. Yankees needed a win to get the series split. Spoiler alert, they did.
That one is drilled to right field, and that ball is gone. More conventional, short porch, second home run for Soto, and the Yankees are leading 9-1.
Turn to be the final score. Juan Soto, 2 of New York's 5 homers as they clobber the Rays. Yes, Network on the call. Get the series split 2 games apiece. And with the win, they move to within 1.5 of the Orioles. We will get to the standings here in a second. Boston, after getting swept in L.A., they're in Colorado taking on the Rockies. And it looked like they might get a win, the Red Sox, until this happened in the 10th.
This ball is belted to right center field. A deep has hit out. Sutton Sam has tied this game in the 10th.
Sam Hillier with a home run. That was Rockies TV on the call. The Rockies, would eventually win the game 9-8 in 12 innings. So Boston, they've lost four in a row. They were starting to get hot there before the All-Star break, but they've lost six of the last 10. Again, standings coming up here in a second in the division tonight. Mets are at the Yankees. Get ready to have that shoved down your throats for the next couple of days as the always fun Subway Series that nobody outside of New York gives a crap about, but the networks will tell you that you do. 7:05, Tampa's at Toronto. 7:07, Blue Jays are scuffling here. Rockies and Red Sox game two of that series. 8:40, first pitch in Denver. And, of course, the Orioles, 6:40, taking on the Marlins. Standings update in the American League East and beyond. Orioles game and a half up in the division, 60-39 on the year, plus 91 run differential. Yankees are 60-48, plus 109. They're 5-5 in their last 10. Talked about the Red Sox, 53-46. They've lost four in a row, plus 36. In the AL Central, Cleveland four games up on both Minnesota and Kansas City. There, the Royals have won four straight. How about Bobby Witt just missing the cycle last night? Got plunked and led to some drama. Of course, it wouldn't be sports if it wasn't some level of drama there. Out in the AL West, the Astros actually caught Seattle and passed them, but Seattle managed to win the series finale, so now that series is tied, or that division, rather, is tied there. Percentage points, no. 520 winning percentage for both teams, as Houston and Seattle are going to fight it out. Texas, their four games off the pace, defending World Series champions. In the National League East, Philadelphia, 8.5 up on the Atlanta Braves. The Braves decimated by injuries. Max Fried's gone. Ozzie Albies is gone. Of course, Acuna's out for the year, as is Spencer Strider. Still very much in a wild card position, but what will Atlanta do over the next 7 days? Mets, they're 11.5 off the pace, but in the wild card conversation for sure. Got Milwaukee five games up on St. Louis, and the Pirates are sitting six games out. Hey, the Cubbies are still clanking around, I guess. Out West, we talked about this during Buy or Sell. The Dodgers have won four in a row. They're now 8.5 games up on the Padres and nine games up on the Diamondbacks, and you're always fun and exciting wildcard standings as we're coming up in the last week or so of the month of July. Wildcards in the American League, if the playoffs started today, would be the Yankees, Twins, and Royals. Boston two games out, Seattle 3.5. Tampa's sitting 6.5. I say stick a fork at Tampa. They're 10 out of the wildcard, so we're starting to trim Tampa, the Angels, A's, White Sox, get it. In the National League playoffs, wildcard teams would be the Braves, Cardinals, and the Mets, with the Pirates and Padres both a half game back. Arizona, defending National League champs, they're a game out of the wildcard. Cubbies, 3.5. Giants, Reds, four gap back. And let's see here, the Nats are only 4.5, so they still have some hope. Winners of three in a row. So a lot of playoff fun still to be determined. Trade deadline, Major League Baseball coming up a week from today. But when we come back here on Vidi and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, going to talk some NFL. Nate Davis, USA Today, record projections are out. He doesn't have the Ravens doing a lot. We'll explain next here on The Fan. Vidi and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Turn It Up Tuesday. You want to allow, we'll play it for you. Only one more segment to go, so get that song request in. Plaza Port text line at 410-583-1057. We're going to make it happen for you. Training camp day three happening out there at One Winning Drive. Still waiting to get that attendance report to see if Lamar Jackson posts for the first time, as he has missed the first 2 days of training camp with an illness. Keep in mind, Lamar did report last week with quarterbacks and injured veterans, so he's been there, just overcome with the illness, according to John Harbaugh, over the weekend. But here to talk about what's happening as training camps are here. We're, what, a couple of weeks away? Not even from the Hall of Fame game. Looking ahead to the 2024 season a little bit. Bob Haney with you. Vinny's out at One Winning Drive. Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass from USA Today. Let's welcome back to the show Nate Davis. Nate, good afternoon. How are you feeling today?
Feeling okay. Yourself?
I guess we're feeling better than Lamar because he hasn't practiced in a couple of days, but it is what it is. What did you think before we get into your record predictions, Nate, for 24, about John Harbaugh coming out strong, saying that the goal eventually is for Lamar to be the greatest quarterback, not in the NFL today, in the history of the National Football League?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's generally unusual for John to come to an impassioned, I guess you'd say in this case, defense of his guys. And, you know, certainly, yeah, he's got a two-time league MVP leading his team. That said, I mean, I think that, you know, the criticism is somewhat fair. I mean, I don't put it all on Lamar. You know, I think certainly the play calling and the approach to that loss with the Chiefs was kind of an organizational failure. But, you know, by the same token, I also think Lamar's got a lot of work to do if he wants to get up there in the Joe Montana, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes conversation, which I think is kind of where it is.
And at this time, like you said, the two MVPs, I mean, Patrick Mahomes is kind of putting himself into that Mount Rushmore of quarterback play. But, I mean, Ravens fans criticize Lamar because, as you know, Nate, quarterbacks get the blame and, you know, the credit when, for whether it's fair or unfair. I mean, that he's one of the five best quarterbacks in the league and has really rehabilitated his image, if you will, from a year ago at this time where all we were talking about was holdouts and finally getting his deals and maybe a regressing game.
Yeah, I mean, I think for whatever reason, it does seem to me oftentimes like Lamar is generally underrated. You know, you kind of mentioned that top five quarterbacks. I mean, that almost seems a touch disrespectful for a guy that does have two league MVPs in the last five seasons. Or whatever it is, and I still think that there's upward mobility there. I mean, he showed great strides as a passer last year, a little more judicious with the running, but we all know what the capabilities are there. I think the thing that's holding him back is doing it in the playoffs. So, you know, you're not going to fulfill John Harbaugh's expectations, like you said, if you don't win it all. Otherwise, you kind of go into that Dan Marino discussion, which is not where Lamar wants to be, but. He's got plenty of time to get there, but it's all rather premature at this point, particularly given, you know, when Holmes is his main threat to that kind of an anointment, if you will.
Now let's get to the record predictions. USA Today, Nate Davis, talking about the NFL. And last year, Nate, if memory serves, you picked all four teams in the North to finish above 500, which they did. All four to make the playoffs. Three of the four did. So, hey, I'll take that victory lap. But you got all four above 500 again this year, but with the Ravens chasing that elusive ring, 10-7, not even making the playoffs. Why would right now they be on the outside looking in?
Yeah, I mean, I go into this exercise kind of picking all the wins and losses. You know, Ravens fans see it, and they think I've got it out for the Ravens. Not sure. That's just kind of how they came out in the wash. And in my projection, they missed the playoffs by the strength of victory tiebreaker, actually, Bob. So, I mean, they're effectively a playoff team. We all know things will change with injuries and that kind of stuff. But, I mean, my concern is I think everyone's kind of wrapped up in the Derrick Henry signing, understandably so. I do kind of wonder how well he and Lamar are going to vibe together, just given Derrick Henry has been a guy that's lined up deep for years, gotten that running start from a quarterback, taking the snap from under center, and done his thing. How was it going to work with Lamar and shotgun or pistol where he wants to be? You know, we'll see. I mean, it could work out great, but, you know, we've kind of seen in Cleveland where Deshaun Watson and Nick Chubb hasn't always been the most harmonious tandem. And beyond that, you know, Mike McDonald's gone. 60% of the offensive line is gone. You know, you've lost quite a few pieces on that defense. And again, you know, you said it, you know, I predicted it last year. I mean, this is the best division top to bottom in football, and Cincinnati Bengals certainly should be more of a force this year than they were last if Joe Burrow is there for the duration. So I think the Ravens are going to be good. I'm just not sure that they're going to be as good as they were last year, given kind of the net losses versus, you know, bringing in a guy like Derrick Henry.
And you mentioned Cincinnati, and you have them winning it at 11-6, and Joe Burrow's been given clearance to do all things football here. Lamar, two MVPs. Mahomes has two, if I'm not mistaken. Is Joe Burrow kind of like the next guy? I know Josh Allen will get to the AFC East in a second. He's probably in line, but if Burrow stays healthy, the ceiling for him this year is what, Nate?
Well, I mean, Joe Burrow has shown, like you said, he's in that short list, that conversation. I mean, he's shown that he's a guy that can beat Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs, which Josh Allen has not, which Lamar has not. So, certainly he deserves to be on that short list of the best quarterbacks in the league in this moment. I don't know that Joe has, you know, the physical skills of Lamar or Josh, or maybe even Mahomes. But certainly we know he can pick you apart. He's gritty. You know, he rallies his team. That's not a guy I want to see in January, and I think somebody's going to have that problem because I think the Cincinnati Bengals are going to be playing into January this season.
Nate Davis, USA Today, talking to NFL. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney with you. Turn it up Tuesday. AFC South. Houston is like the fancy day. Look, they made the playoffs last year, won a game, made the Ravens sweat for a half, but doesn't look like, Nate, you're buying them as this rising power in the AFC South, much less the conference. Why no Houston at the top of the division where you have the Colts at 11-6?
Yeah, I mean, I like them. You know, nobody saw this coming with the Texans a year ago, but I mean, if you go back a year, you know, everyone thought the Jaguars were going to rule this division for the next 4 or 5 years after they finally, you know, won the crown there in 2022 with you know, Trevor Lawrence and all the talent they have. I think people are, the Texans are kind of the shiny object in many places, but they won the AFC South by one game over the Jags and the Colts last year, and then both those teams had, you know, lots of injury issues, and the Texans are the ones that now get the first place schedule. So I've got the Jags and the Colts going, but I mean, I've got them both at 10 wins this year. I've got the Texans at 9. I mean, that keeps them out of the playoff field by one game. I mean, I know they brought in Diggs and Joe Mixon, but they're also not going to catch anybody by surprise this year. So I think this could be kind of a, maybe ultimately it's a 2 steps forward, 1 step back for Houston. But I wouldn't be surprised if they come back to the pack a little bit.
Now, out west, you have the Chiefs winning it, and of course, everyone kind of agrees with it. But the Chargers, speaking of shiny things in the offseason, the shiny thing is the new head coach, Jim Harbaugh, coming in there. But right now, you have the Chargers at 9-8. What would be their undoing here as they try to get back to the playoffs?
Well, I mean, new philosophy, new program there. You know, they had to trim some guys due to the salary cap this year. I mean, specifically Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. I think it's going to be a bit of a transition for them. You know, that being said, the last time Jim Harbaugh took over a team, you know, the 49ers went from 6 wins to 13 wins in 2011. So, you know, we know he's got the ability to turn an organization around quickly. I think he will. In this case, you know, unfortunately, he goes into the division with, you know, what I think is probably going to be the team with the best regular season record in the whole league this year. So I'm saying let's give the Chargers a year. Let's let them get acclimated to Jim Harbaugh and know that probably nobody's going to want to face him on a weekly basis. But I think there'll be, you know, it's going to be an adjustment period. But I think 9 wins coming off 5-12 season seems like a pretty good, tick up for them.
In the AFC East, you have the Jets not only winning the division, Nate, you have them winning the Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers is back, already got some drama with Hassan Reddick. I mean, I guess it is what it is. It's the Jets. That's how they kind of roll. But why winning the division, winning the conference, and then eventually winning the Lombardi Trophy for the first time since the Beatles were still together, the last time the Jets won a Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, admittedly, I have a little fun with this kind of once I get the playoff fields. But, you know, there is more precedent for the Jets winning a Super Bowl than there is for a team with a Super Bowl three-peat, right? So, I mean, you could pick apart anybody you put in there. But, yeah, when I talk about the Jets, I always kind of draw the analogy. They're like a hockey team that's been playing shorthanded the last two seasons, yet they've still somehow managed to win 14 games. I mean, that defense has allowed the second fewest yards in the NFL since the start of 22. Despite the fact that it's never staked to a lead, you know, it's always on the field. I mean, that's pretty remarkable stuff. And, you know, they're still loaded. I mean, they're loaded throughout the roster, but obviously it's all contingent on Aaron Rodgers being there. But I think if he is, I don't think he needs to win a fifth MVP to propel this team. I think he needs to be efficient, you know, dare I say a game manager. And I think they've got everything else in place to make a charge, and I think they better, given the pressure the owner has put on Joe Douglas, the GM, and Robert Saleh, the coach.
All right, Nate, last thing, get to the NFC quickly. You got Green Bay winning the NFC. Jordan Love is a hold-in right now, two-parter. What kind of dough is he going to get, assuming he signs, and it looks like he will? And why Green Bay taking it another level or two from where they – hey, look, they had San Francisco on the ropes in the divisional round last year after winning in Dallas.
They did. Had him on the ropes, really, really strong finish the last season, which, you know, coincided with a very strong finish for Jordan Love. I think he's going to get paid here shortly. I think the question is whether does he top Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence at $55 million a year. We'll see. That's a big number for a guy that's been a one-year starter. But we saw what he did last year. You know, you mentioned it, youngest team in the league last year. To me, the real place where this team could make gains is defensively. I think they've got 7 first-rounders on defense, but really they haven't played up to that potential. Jeff Hafley comes in. I think if he changed the scheme, I think he's going to change the results. And, you know, if you could get your defense kind of mid-tier or top 10, I think you're going to be a lot better than 9-8.
Nate Davis, USA Today. Nate, always great to talk to you. This is always fun to do the preseason predictions. We're always usually wrong. You know, I mean, how many years did people pick the Chargers to get to the Super Bowl with Phillip Rivers? And it never really panned out well for them. But we appreciate the time on this Turn It Up Tuesday. And hopefully we'll talk to you a few more times before kickoff 2024.
All right. Thank you, Bob.
You got it, buddy. There's Nate Davis, everybody. We'll come back, give you a Lamar Jackson update, take a trip through the funhouse. Inside Access takes over at 2, followed by Baltimore Baseball Tonight with Ken Wyman and Ryan Ripken getting you ready for Game 1. Orioles take it on the Marlins. Turn It Up Tuesday. Vinny at Haiti, 105.7 The Fan, a little crew for you. Too young to fall in love. Words to live by, I guess. I don't know. Do whatever you want. I'm off tomorrow. Explain in a second. Lamar's not practicing. 3rd straight day. Dealing with an illness. Vinny's out at 1 winning drive. We'll have some intel for you tomorrow when we reconvene at 10 o'clock. Cordell's going to be in for me. Cordell Woodland. Because tomorrow, Nolan, I'm going back to the retina doctor. And this is when I find out whether surgery is going to be necessary. Those new to the show. Had a fully detached retina 2 years ago. Got the reattachment surgery. And I haven't been able to see out of my right eye since. Apparently, there's a membrane over top of the retina, which is making everything out of focus. Everything's wavy. If both eyes were like this, I'd be blind. I wouldn't be able to read. I wouldn't be able to drive. Couldn't watch TV clearly. It would suck like really bad. So tomorrow I go in, find out whether or not surgery is necessary. And it probably is. So we'll go from there. And if the surgery doesn't work, basically my retina doctor said I'm screwed.
Well, I mean,
yes,
we're hoping for the best here. But correct. I mean, the time between the last surgery and tomorrow, I mean, it's been
2 years.
You know, injections and all this other stuff.
Poked and prodded. And then because I got the cataract surgery in March. So I'm taking the eye chart thing when I was there a couple weeks ago. Because it was after jury duty, I think. Anyway, so I'm like, yeah, it's an E, it's an F, and an M, and a G. And she goes, well, you did better on the eye chart this time. I said, I've taken this eye chart so many times, I've memorized the letters.
You got to change it up.
Yeah, I mean, you got to switch it up on me a little bit. But once I get to that fourth line, I'm done. I can't see anything. Luckily, I have 20/20 vision in my left eye. Needless to say, driving at night's not cool. My depth perception's a little bit off. So hopefully tomorrow we'll get closer to some sort of resolution. But Cordell's going to be in tomorrow with Vinny.
Well, we'll have Ravens coverage hot and heavy as usual.
And Oriole talk, hopefully talking about Albert Suarez picking up win number 6 or 7, excuse me. And we'll get closer and closer to the trade deadline, which is a week from today. But enough of that. Let's go to the fun house. Get on up out of here.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that Quick Draw.
105.7 The Fan.
We will start here with Gene in Annapolis in response to one of the hypothetical trades that was proposed earlier in the show that would see Scooble and Foley coming to Baltimore from Detroit in exchange for Jackson Holliday and Heston Kerstad. Gene here says, I'd execute that trade right now. The Orioles' time is now. It's finally time for them to make that big move. Quite frankly, we don't know what Jackson Holliday will end up being. As much of a highly regarded prospect as he is, I say go for it.
Well, I don't think they will. And let's... I would be stunned if Detroit trades Tarik Skubal because they're still kind of sniffing wild card stuff, but maybe their window opens big time next year. The question is, you have to ask yourself, do we have a better chance of competing without Tarik Skubal with Jackson Holliday, Heston Kerstad? moving forward. Scooble, for this year's Oriole team, immediately makes them better. Because there's no guarantees that Jackson Holliday even comes back to Baltimore. Could. I mean, Kerstad's here, obviously. But Scooble in that rotation, he slides right in behind Burns ahead of Grayson. You're looking at a big three that rivals any in the postseason. But that's a lot to give up, man, for a guy that plays every fifth day. And not even nine innings most of the time.
Well, you mentioned the Tigers' perspective there. Would they even move Scooble at this point? This texter actually is a Tigers fan. Says that it would take quite a bit for them to move him. Holliday would be the starting point, either Bassaio or Mayo as well. Notes that the Yankees' interest here as well should put the heat on the O's to get something done. Not only do you want what Scooble provides, but you also don't want him to go to a division rival and have to face him for years to come.
No doubt about that. So that's another thing that Mike Elias is going to have to deal with, even though the Orioles have more to deal than New York does. Let's not forget the Dodgers are clanking around here, even though looking at MLB trade rumors over the last 3 hours or so, they might be pivoting more towards a Garrett Crochet acquisition, who's also been on the Orioles radar. And apparently the Orioles are looking at a couple of Cincinnati pitchers as well.
And let's see, one last one here. Texter searching for a bat at the deadline says the Orioles need to go after Brent Rooker in Oakland. Says they struggle, the Orioles that is, against left-handed pitching too much. Right-handed power bat, Rooker provides that. Over 20 home runs, .290 batting average. I think he's exactly what they need.
Did he hit a home run or two against the Orioles this year?
I believe so.
I think old Rooker was a pain in our rear end. Rich Dubroff said it yesterday from BaltimoreBaseball.com. Do not rule out the possible acquisition of a right-handed bat for the outfield, which probably doesn't bode well for Austin Hayes. By the way, everybody, it's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. I'll be back on Thursday, hopefully with good eye news. Cordell and Vinny will be here tomorrow starting at 10 o'clock. Woman Crush Wednesday for Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato. I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe. Stay healthy. We'll talk to you when we talk to you. For now, class dismissed.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.